Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a win for your Houston Rockets. Welcome in to another post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Rockets now 27-9 after a big come-from-behind victory over the Washington Wizards on Monday night at Toyota Center. They were down as much as 15 points early in this game, but they blitzed the Wizards 37-17 in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, after the Rockets started 1 of 16 from the field, allowed the Wizards to come all the way back and tie the game, the Rockets put it away late. Big threes from Eric Gordon and James Harden down the stretch. This was one of those wins. If you've listened to me on this show before, I would say it's a culture win. This was as satisfying as they come. Because to me, when you look at a team over the grind of an 82-game season, it's not so much about the highs. Everyone has a few games where they play really well, even against elite competition. To me, what makes this Rockets team special is how they're able to dig down and find another gear, even when they aren't really clicking on all cylinders. We saw it that game in Denver on the fifth game of a five-game road trip, the night after the huge win in Golden State. We saw it in Minnesota a couple of weeks ago when they were down 12 with 2 minutes to go and found a way to make plays late. Always believed. We heard Harden tell Ryan Anderson with 2 minutes left in the game they were still going to win. And then tonight, down 15, it was the third game in four nights. You could tell they were dog-tired. No Pat Beverly, no Clint Capella. And this one, it took both James Harden and Trevor Ariza. Harden played 42 minutes. Ariza played 44 because, quite simply, no one other than Ariza was capable of really denying penetration on a regular basis. John Wall got so much going early in the game. Bradley Beal was hot from three. And so it took all of your perimeter guys. Eric Gordon even played 36. That's high for him. But without Pat Beverly, Tyler Ennis was not really playable that much. Tyler, at times, has shown a spark, but certainly not on the defensive end. And this was a game where early on, it was clear that the Wizards posed some very distinct problems for the Rockets on the defensive end. Because the Wizards, they're a very good team when healthy. They haven't been yet, but Bradley Beal returned tonight. Very talented starting five. And the Rockets struggled a lot early in the game to get the stops that they needed. So it took those wing defenders playing way more than they were used to get this win. And even on a 3- and 4-night stretch, they were able to do that and make big shots down the stretch. Yes, Harden was 6 of 24 from the field, which is not great. 2 of 11 from 3. But he did hit a couple of big ones late. In addition to the 3 he hit, he also went inside at a key point when the Wizards had cut it to 5, took contact, and for a guy that you know has to be dragging 3 games in 4 nights, having one of the greatest individual games in NBA history the other night with 53-17-16, for Harden to absorb that level of contact. There was a stretch in the fourth quarter. Yes, the Rockets hit some threes late, but when they started 1 of 16, it felt like they couldn't throw anything in the ocean. And so you could see they kept going to the rim. Yes, it was frustrating. Montrezl Harrell fumbled an alley-oop at one point. I think Harden missed a shot close. But they attacked the rim because that's what good teams do. If they think that they're better than the opponent, if the threes aren't going in, they're going to continue to drive, they're going to continue to take teams off the dribble because eventually they think those shots are going to fall. They think they're going to be able to make plays off the dribble if they attack, and that's what the Rockets did, and sooner or later they did get a couple of shots inside, and then after that happened, the threes opened up, you saw a lot more spacing, and so Eric Gordon hit a couple, James Harden hit one, and that's how the Rockets were able to put the Wizards away. What's funny, we look at this as a down game for James Harden because, yeah, he was 6 of 24 from the field. He still ended up with a triple-double. Rockets 101-91 winners tonight. And James, even with shooting 25% from the field, still had 23 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds. He was a team-best plus 14 in his 42 minutes. This was what an MVP does. Because as much as you're going to have historic nights like you had on New Year's Eve, those are the exception to the rule. More often than not, you're going to have games where, especially if you have the burden that James Harden has on this Houston team without a true second all-star, let's say, because there's certainly no Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving. There's a lot of pretty good players on this Rockets team, but there's only one all-star. So when you have that kind of burden, you're going to have to go into, you know, find a second gear, even a third gear some nights when you just don't have your normal juice, your normal step. And so to see James dig deep, I thought he also had a couple, besides the shooting, a couple of big rebounds late. We asked Mike D'Antoni before the game if he was concerned about Montrezl Harrell's lack of rebounding. Now, it should be noted that Harrell tonight actually had 9 rebounds in 32 minutes. This was a big step forward for Montrezl on that front. But we asked before the game, and Mike said, first he joked and said, well, Montrezl is just leaving those rebounds for James Harden so he can get his triple-double. But he said that for Mike, he's more concerned about the team rebounds. In other words, it's not about one guy getting it or not. They use a team rebounding approach, and so if the Rockets are out-rebounding their opponent, that's what he's concerned about. Now, the Wizards did out-rebound the Rockets tonight, as the Knicks did on Saturday, so I think you certainly can see the absence of Clint Capella and Pat Beverly to a lesser extent, because Pat Beverly, a very good rebounding guard, especially for his position, but the Rockets, they take a team approach to rebounding. They know what their deficiencies are. Ryan Anderson doesn't get a ton of athletic rebounds, just 4 rebounds in 32 minutes. We've covered Montrezl Harrell's deficiencies at length. Nene, even when he played, and Nene only played 14 minutes, but he was huge. There was about a 2-minute span in that third quarter where he had a big dunk that gave the Rockets the lead for the first time. Then he had a rejection. Then he had a mid-range shot. Then I think he had another dunk. So even though Nene didn't necessarily have a huge role tonight, he had a huge burst. And that's what you count on from Nene, because certainly we know his limitations. He's not going to be a regular player in this rotation. And we went into the year expecting him to play 20 to 25 minutes. At this point, it's pretty clear you probably want him to play about 15 minutes. So what you're counting on, it's not necessarily for counting numbers, but you want bursts. You want moments, those flashbacks where you see the old Nene. And you had that tonight. And even if he only gave you 14 minutes, that 2 or 3 minute span late in the third quarter was enough that, well, it may have single-handedly turned the game, or at least played a big part in the Rockets had already gotten it close, but unable to get them some separation, and that separation allowed them to start the fourth quarter 1 of 16, but still be within striking distance when the shots finally started to fall. But to get back to the rebounding point, for the Rockets, it's a team rebounding approach, so given the limitations that they have up front, you need your guards to rebound. Typically, that's Pat Beverly. Well, that's out. So now Harden's got to step up. He had 10 rebounds, 9 defensive rebounds. Trevor Ariza had 6 rebounds, all of them defensively. So you're seeing the Rockets, we've covered Sam Decker before as well. You're seeing this team, they know what their limitations are, and they are stepping up to make those absences, I don't want to say not relevant, but to mitigate the impact. And so that's what good teams do. Now you can't hang on like that forever. I think you saw a clear sign tonight of just how important Pat Beverly is and why if he's out for an extended period, there could be some issues. Fortunately, I'm not that concerned about Pat Beverly. It's not the wrist that he had surgery on 2 years ago. I also did see him at Toyota Center tonight. It's not like he's in hiding or it's something scary looking. What my guess as to what happened, it's a thin week for the Rockets in that they played Saturday night, and then this is the only game between Saturday and Thursday. So if you sit Bev tonight, you can essentially rest that wrist for 4 or 5 days. Whereas normally, you know, if you have a lot of games, one game might not mean that much. But in this case, when you can actually rest him for 4 or 5 days, the Rockets, I think, are seeing this as an opportunity to get that wrist right and to make sure that he is ready to go when he comes back. Because it is a tough stretch of point guards. They have Russell Westbrook coming to Toyota Center on Thursday. Then they play Toronto Raptors and Kyle Lowry on Sunday. I think they play Kemba Walker next week as well. So you're going to have a ton of very good point guards. I know there was another one tonight in John Wall, but at the end of the day, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Rockets are trying to get through. not just an 82-game schedule, but a 17-game slate in January. So they're always thinking big picture. And my guess, I don't see anything huge to worry about with Pat Beverley, but they saw this as an opportunity that, you know what, if we sneak one more game in here for Pat to rest, we can give him basically a full week off from last Friday until this coming Thursday. And hopefully by then, whatever minor wrist sprain he has time to heal up by the time he goes up against his good buddy, we'll say, Russell Westbrook on Thursday night. Because I really can't imagine Pat Beverley not being good to go for that game. But it does show you the limitation. Bradley Beal was Washington's standout scorer from, you know, a number standpoint, 9 of 18, 27 points, 5 of 10 from 3. But it was really John Wall. He was the straw that stirred the drink. 12 assists in his 37 minutes. So many of those threes were off of John Wall penetration. And that's why the Rockets perimeter guys had to play so many minutes. Because with Beverley out, it's not like you can trust Tyler Ennis to play against someone like John Wall. You'd be asking to be eaten alive, basically. So you need Pat Beverley to get back. Also, this is why I don't see it as a huge need, but you have seen people say that if the Rockets have a need, maybe they do need one more point guard, aka an upgrade over Tyler Ennis, because it shows you just how thin they are if one of these guards goes out. Right now it's Beverley, but what happens if it's Eric Gordon or, God forbid, James Harden for a few games? Anybody can turn an ankle. So the Rockets are obviously not comfortable playing Tyler Ennis. Now, it's tricky because it's tough to find a guard or trade valuable assets for one if they're not going to be a regular part of the rotation. And if everyone is healthy, then, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But in terms of building depth, Corey Brewer, he started tonight. He's been decent at times in the defensive end, but he's not a point guard, and especially as Corey ages, it's a little unfair to ask him to pick up the John Walls, the Russell Westbrooks of the NBA. That's not really his game. So the point guard position, it's kind of like the center position for the Rockets in that it's not a huge need on the surface, because when everyone's healthy, Rockets have minutes occupied at the guard spots. And when everyone's healthy, the Rockets have three centers in Capella, Nene, and Montrezl Harrell. But it's just situational stuff. The center position, if the Rockets need a little bit more defense. And the same thing can be said for point guard. If they need more defense, if there's any kind of injury, any kind of little turned ankle, sprained wrist in this case, do they have enough insulation? It's tough because you don't want to trade major assets for a need that's conditional. So nothing may get done. We'll have to wait and see. And I would bet that it at least goes to the deadline, because with what limited assets the Rockets are probably offering, it's going to take closer deadline for teams to back off their asking prices unless they're overwhelmed with an offer. And I don't see the Rockets overwhelming teams with an offer when the need is just conditional. But you can see tonight a need for, you know, maybe one more backup point guard, just as some of the other games have shown you a need for one more backup center in the middle. Because the Rockets, they have a very good rotation when healthy, but to get through 82 games, you are going to have little nagging things like this with what's happened to Pat Beverley in the past week. And so if you could get a couple more bodies, it would help. It's not at the top of the list. Certainly the Rockets are fine without it, and the need is small enough that you don't want to ask Daryl Morey to give up, you know, significant assets, be it draft picks, prospects, whatever it may be, to fill a need that may not even be there on a nightly basis. But in an ideal world, the Rockets would be able to fill those needs, and hopefully as we get closer to the February deadline, you'll see some, you know, selling teams drop their asking prices to where you can make a deal. Just as 2 years ago, you know, when they made that Western Conference Finals run, they made the move for Pablo Prigioni, and a lot of people wondered, why do they need Pablo Prigioni? It's not like he addressed a real need. He didn't instantly go in the rotation, but all of a sudden, Pat Beverley has something happen, and before you know it, Pablo Prigioni is playing big minutes in Game 7 and playing a huge role in your team getting to the Western Conference Finals. So that's the kind of move I could see the Rockets making. I don't think it'd be for Pablo specifically after they let him go before the year, but I think that's a parallel of the type of thing they're looking for. And tonight, despite getting the win, it did remind you a little bit of exactly what that need could be. Final thought on this podcast before I close out. Rockets, of course, 101-91 winners. They're now 27-9 on the year. That's a 750 winning percentage. They're now within one game of the Spurs in the Western Conference, and we're within five games of the halfway point in the NBA season. So 36 out of 82, and the Rockets are one game back of the two seed. That is phenomenal. You apply that 750 winning percentage to the year, multiply it by 82, get 61.5. Let's round that up to 62, and let's say the Rockets are on pace for a 62-20 season right now. That is incredible, and that is especially amazing when you consider the absence of Clint Capela and Pat Beverly. Right now, the Rockets have actually won 6 of 8 without Clint Capela. So they are winning just as many games without him as they are with him. Now, I'm not trying to mitigate his importance, because Clint Capela is a very important player, and some of these recent games, the Rockets' struggles on the glass, show you that they'd like to have Clint back, and I do think he'll be back quickly. We have seen him around Toyota Center. He seems to be in great spirits, doesn't seem to have a limp, so I don't think this is going to be a very long-term injury. But the Rockets are finding ways, even when they're not at their best, even when the team is shorthanded, they're getting these wins. These are the kind of wins that, to me, indicate that it has the potential to be a special year. Because, as I've said time and time before, every team has high points. Even last year, we all think that last year, when the Rockets went 41-41 and 8 seed, was so forgettable, so disappointing. Remember how great the Rockets looked on Christmas Day against the Spurs? Everybody has games like that, especially against elite competition, when you play 82 games. The true test of an elite team isn't those high points. It's that they're able to consistently grind and get wins even when they aren't at their best, when they're struggling. And so when you see the Rockets, after getting down 15 early, after starting the fourth quarter 1 of 16 from the field, it would have been easily understandable if they lost this game. It was the third game in 4 nights for the Rockets. They were down 2 starters. James Harden was coming off one of the greatest individual games in the history of the NBA. It would have been so easy for them to chalk it up to a schedule loss and say, you know what, we're tired. It was the Wizards' night. Wizards came in winning 7 of 10. They were at 500 for the first time all year. They had Bradley Beal back, so they had a very talented starting five. It would have been very understandable if the Rockets lost this game. No one would have been that upset. And yet the Rockets still fought through it. They fought through the fatigue, fought through the struggles, got the win. They're now 3-0 on this homestand, 27-9 overall. And now they get 2 days off and basically don't have to play again for 72 hours until Oklahoma City comes here on Thursday night. And so now the Rockets, it'll be a very hyped MVP showdown between James Harden and Russell Westbrook. But more importantly, the Rockets can finally heal up. Hopefully James Harden gets some rest. Pat Beverly, I would highly expect that he comes back for that game. And so I think the Rockets on Thursday night will be in a much better position to be themselves than they were tonight. And yet again, close out the show, I'll say even though they weren't themselves, they still got the win. And so at the end of the day, for the 2016-2017 Rockets, that seems to be the defining aspect. They just win. And so give them credit. This was as impressive a performance as I have seen all year long when you consider the hurdles that were in their way. It's a big win. And so I think for the next couple of days, you can feel very good about where this Rockets team is at for the time being. Just cross your fingers that we hear positive news on Pat Beverly. I don't know if the Rockets will practice Tuesday. I would suspect they probably get a day off after all of this. But they'll be back to practice on Wednesday, I would guess. And so hopefully then we'll have news that Pat Beverly is ready to go. If you stay tuned with me at my Twitter feed, that's at Ben Dubose, or the show at Locked on Rockets, we'll keep you posted. And hopefully by then we'll have some very positive news heading into that showdown on Thursday night against Oklahoma City, national TV game. So everybody, if you're listening, if you're anywhere in the U.S., just tune on TNT and you should be able to find it. For now, I'll sign off. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked on Rockets, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. We've got a podcast covering every NBA and NFL team on a daily basis. That includes Locked on Texans, our counterpart from across town. Texans getting ready for a playoff game. So if you want more coverage this week, it's going to be a little quiet for the Rockets because we only have a couple more games this week. Well, just tune in to my buddy Robert Lynn, and he's going to have coverage leading up to the Texans' big game on Saturday afternoon against Oakland. For now, all of you can bask in the glory of a big come-from-behind win for the Rockets. They were down 15 points early. They flipped it and ended up winning by double digits. 25-point turnaround. Rockets 101, Wizards 91. Rockets now 27-9 on the year. I'll be talking with you again over the next couple of days as we get ready for the Thunder. I'll even have a column on sports790.com. That's the website of Sports Talk 790, the official flagship station for the team, breaking down why I think James Harden is the clear MVP over Russell Westbrook. So you can stay tuned for that over the next couple of days. But for now, just enjoy the win, and I'll be talking with you again to hype up this Thunder showdown on Thursday night. Have a good night.